Track 14. Romantic Roses. Rose-covered, exuberant and uber-stylish, Manor House Farm ticks all the boxes for a romantic English country garden.
Take a rambling red brick farmhouse nestling in gently rolling Norfolk countryside and add roses. On every weather-worn wall, over gate and archway, roses climb, ramble and cascade. As the sun rises over the quads, a parterre at the top of the garden, carved out from former lambing fields, cushions of green and plum foliage, box, purple-leaved hebe and cotinus, and contrasting spires of foxglove and annual verbascum soften this flamboyant show. The design and planting have a strong self-confidence, a kind of if-you've-got-it, flaunt-it vibe, but with an ultra-romantic twist. Owners Robin and Elizabeth Libby Ellis moved to Manor House Farm back in 1966, but the garden came into being much later. "We had four children and the farm," explains Robin, "so we really didn't have that much time to garden." Libby nods in agreement. "I gardened at the back of the house, but in a small way, a herbaceous border and lawn." Robin also had a kitchen garden in this area, and there was an inkling of something afoot when Libby gently suggested he may want to re-site. "I told him to get his kitchen garden out of there because I didn't like looking at his shabby old greenhouse," she laughs. So that's when it started to go a bit further. Libby has always been interested in gardening. As a young woman, she worked for her father for 6 months when the family gardener was out of action. A model at the time, making her way in the world of Mary Quant and Bieber, Libby realised that although she loved the modelling, she didn't love the city. "I think it was really rather good having the two different jobs. I like being outside and I like nurturing things." In 1995, with their children grown and a son established in the family farming business, Robin and Libby were able to turn their attention more wholeheartedly to the garden. "There were no plans," said Robin, smiling. "We made it up as we went along. Starting with the area around the house and courtyards and expanding out past the archway at the top of the lawn garden, the couple gradually developed different spaces in a variety of styles. A formal pleached lime walk, the quad's parterre, a mixed orchard with mown pathways, the hot spot, a rockery garden which turned out to be damp and an ideal place for hostas and euphorbias, and the Taj garden. The last garden came about in 1997 after a trip to India. Created on the site of a former cattle yard, it was originally destined to become a vegetable plot. Robin's kitchen garden seemed to have been permanently mobile. But a visit to the Taj Mahal inspired the couple to dig out a long rectangular pond. "It was when Princess Diana had been photographed sitting on a bench on her own," remembers Robin, smiling at Libby. "I put a scaffold plank on a concrete block. Libby sat on it and I took a photograph." They burst out laughing. The pond actually ended up home to several large carp, although this was not Libby's initial vision. "I imagined a reflective pool," she says. "Then the digger came in and the hole was dug and dug and dug. Oh, it was so deep. I was worried about the grandchildren falling in. And I ended up saying, if your dog gets in there, it won't be able to get out. And miraculously, the next day, there were steps built in." The Taj garden contains a lot of lime from the walls of the old farm buildings, which makes it quite alkaline. In fact, most of the four-acre plot is alkaline, although there are a few camellias which don't seem to mind. The soil is loamy for the most part, but in the slightly sunken space of the Taj garden, they've had problems with waterlogging. "In the wintertime, the paths on one side fill up with water," explains Robin. "The ewe is not terribly happy here. We have box hedging," adds Libby, "but we got box blight. We had to take about 700 plants out. Nevertheless, most plants have thrived here with deep mixed borders overflowing with roses. Alchemist, Maygold, Rushy Cushion, the Pilgrim, Iceberg, Rachel, the list seemingly endless. These are complemented by cottage garden favourites, Alchemilla, Foxgloves and perennial wallflowers." Libby is chief designer and plants person with strong ideas on colour. "I have been known to take out the pink foxgloves when I wanted just white." The glasshouse forms a regal focus at the top of the garden and looks as though it's been here forever. In fact, it was replaced the previous autumn with accompanying disruptions, scaffolding up, walls down, footings dug, gutters renewed. In the midst of this, a mature grapevine. We had to have the mini diggers and dump trucks in here, says Robin. I took the vine down and tied it to the outer wall. It was covered in builder's dust, Libby continues. We were lucky. It was a very mild autumn. I'm just so chuffed that everything lived. Libby is in charge of planting, propagation and all things lawn-related, while Robin concentrates on the kitchen garden, now in its fourth or fifth incarnation at the far end of the plot. He also does all the pruning. It's a mammoth task come early spring, says Libby. He does it all with secateurs, and he's very good at it. Robin looks astonished and laughs. I've had my carpal tunnels operated on once. I think maybe they need doing again. What does he enjoy about the pruning process? I can't be contacted, he says. I enjoy spending time on my own without having to involve people. Libby agrees. I'm at peace with the world when I'm in the garden or the greenhouse, she says. I'd much rather be out here than doing housework. I don't get bored with gardening. Manor House Farm, Wellingham in Norfolk, PE322TH, is open for the National Garden Scheme on Sunday, the 18th of June.